Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. We're going to start today by playing a little game. So first, close your eyes. Well, maybe if you're driving, you shouldn't actually close your eyes, but you can still play along. Now, think about a time in your life where you had a science epiphany, where the light bulb went on and you thought, I really get this. Maybe you learned something new or figured out something that you'd been wrestling with for a while. But whatever it was something exciting. It was something that made science come alive for you. I'll give you a second to think about your moment. Now, where were you? For most people, their answer would not be, I was sitting in a classroom or a lab, places that are normally associated with science learning. But in fact, you were probably out in the real world, maybe talking to someone, or looking at an exhibit at a museum or a science center, or maybe even listening to a podcast. These are all considered to be informal learning opportunities. Informal science is a burgeoning field that operates across a broad range of venues and envisages learning outcomes for individuals, schools, families, and society at large. But first, maybe we need to take a step back and establish what differentiates informal learning from the more formal style that we're all familiar with. Heidi Schweingruber, Deputy Director of the Board on Education here at the National Research Council, was part of the team that authored the recent report, Learning Science in Informal Environments, and the companion volume, Surrounded by Science. She explains.
At some level, at a fundamental level, the learning itself is the same. But the environment and the kind of supports for learning in an informal setting versus a formal setting, mostly that means school, can be really different. So in informal environments, learners are seen as typically much more kind of able to follow their own interests. They're making choices about what they're engaged in and the level of their engagement. If there's any kind of feedback or assessment to speak of, it's not high stakes at all. Typically, there may not even be any kind of sort of assessment or feedback of performance. The goals can be really different in sort of non-school informal settings where it may be just to pique someone's interest or engage them in learning a particular kind of practice in science, so it may not have as specific a set of learning outcomes as you might find in a formal environment.
Some informal experiences are as simple as a dinnertime conversation or a walk in the woods with family or friends. In those cases, there's not a lot of design. It wasn't thought out beforehand or created to support learning science. It's just something that happened in the moment. You can also have experiences where there's someone behind the scenes intentionally designing it to help people learn science. Museums, zoos, and aquariums are all good examples of these design spaces. While still giving visitors the opportunity to choose what exhibits they interact with, how long they stay, and what depth they reach. Informal science learning also extends to lectures or clubs in the community or school. In those situations, the learner's deeper interests are pushing them to choose the broader experience. There may be things within that program that they're asked to do as part of it, but overall, they've had a choice to be there. So what makes those learning experiences any different from the school experience?
The ways that a learning experience in an informal environment can be valuable, not necessarily in contrast to formal or school environments, but in a way that's complementary to them, is that it can really allow people to pursue something that they may be interested in and to pursue it in the way that they want to, at the depth that they want to, and when they want to. So it affords sort of moments where learners can connect with something in the ways that they're really wanting to connect with it. One of the other ways that these informal experiences can really be special, I guess, is they often include a lot of social interaction, and some settings that's particularly between sort of multi-generational kinds of grouping. So real opportunities for parents and children or teachers and children to really interact in the ways that they might not be able to in formal schooling.
Schweingruber isn't suggesting that we throw the baby out with the bathwater, though. She certainly feels that there's a time and a place for both formal and informal learning.
There actually can be a really nice complementary relationship between schools and these informal environments. And as we talk about improving science education, we don't want to overlook the important role that these informal settings can play. So there's really room for a lot more partnering between schools and places like museums and aquaria, nature centers. The after-school programs are a great way to extend students' experiences with science. So just not ignoring how the informal environments can really become part of a whole system that supports science learning.
Informal science learning experiences are believed to lead to further inquiry, enjoyment, and a sense that science learning can be personally relevant and rewarding. Participants in these experiences are diverse and include learners of all ages, cultural, and socioeconomic backgrounds and abilities. They include hobbyists, tourists, pre-service teachers, members of online student communities, student groups and families who may explore experiences in the home, at work, in community organizations, or just about anywhere. Ideally, these experiences enable learners to connect with their own interests, to provide an interactive space for learning, and to allow an in-depth exploration of current or relevant topics on demand.
In general, across the lifespan, people are in school for a relatively small percentage of life. And if we think about science as something that should be lifelong learning, then informal environments are this incredibly rich opportunity to engage people across the lifespan.
Television documentaries, entertaining portrayals of science and nature in film, internet websites, printed news stories, and online communities provide opportunities to communicate science content to individuals. These materials are often accessed voluntarily, making them an important part of science education in informal settings.
There's actually a long history of people getting their information about science through different media channels. But now there's a lot of kind of integration, particularly of the internet and making things accessible electronically, integration of that with other settings. So you can imagine in everyday settings, media crosscuts through TV, radio, watching at home, surfing the internet, things like that. In design settings, a lot of these designers are now seeing media as one thing that they can use to help design the experience. So they may pull in a video as part of something that they're doing. Or some are, for example, trying to use cell phones to help support learning and allowing people who visit a museum or something to use their cell phones to access additional information as they're going through an exhibit. Some museums are trying to extend the learning experience that might happen in a short visit by providing content online. And so media plays a whole bunch of different roles in helping to support and extend learning.
There are considerable inequities and related concerns in access to science learning media. Access is a universal challenge for educators, programs, and institutions concerned with science education. An important value of informal environments for learning science is being accessible to all. Socioeconomic, cultural, ethnic, historical, and systemic factors, however, all influence the types of access and opportunities these environments afford to learners.
There's increasing recognition that we have this incredibly diverse population that's just getting more diverse. And one of the explicit philosophies of sort of the informal science community has been to reach these diverse communities and really be a venue for allowing many different kinds of people to have entree to science who might not typically have entrees.
Informal environments for science learning may be particularly important for science learning for diverse groups. Research exists on how different groups participate in various venues, but questions remain about how to best empower science learning for diverse groups through informal learning environments. Virtually all people of all ages and backgrounds engage in informal science learning in the course of daily life. Informal environments can stimulate science interest, build learners' scientific knowledge and skill, and perhaps most importantly, help people learn to be more comfortable and confident in their relationship with science. For more information on this topic, you may read the full text of Learning Science in Informal Environments and the companion volume, Surrounded by Science, free online at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.